This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Well, sort of. Good morning and welcome to the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University. Dr. Schertz is away today. He is in Sri Lanka on business. This is his loyal and trusty sidekick, Jim Russ, sitting in for him with the best of Tech Talk for this Saturday, the 12th of March, 2011. And we start, as we usually do, by diving into your letters.
But now, it is time for...
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Yes, a very interesting mailbag this week. We have an email from Maryland Woman. Yes, dear Dr. Schertz, I recently updated my Windows Media Player. After installation and reboot, my internet homepage was somehow changed to Bing, which, of course, is the Microsoft search engine. And, of course, Windows Media Player is a Microsoft product, so... Apparently, during the installation, they changed the homepage to something that Microsoft wanted. In addition, my browser now had a Bing toolbar, which is a little search toolbar that had been added to the browser during the installation of Windows Media Player. Now, I've mostly been a cheerleader for technology, she goes on to state, the internet, etc. But this is just wrong. No software firm should ever inject into my computer their latest offerings without my conscious approval. And this applies to the new Dell laptops that come preloaded with crapware. That's a technical term,
Jim.
That's a technical term.
We have gone into that on the show before.
It's a technical term. I did not agree to have it installed on my brand new laptop. How can I avoid this nonsense going forward? Microsoft is way out of line here. Thanks, Maryland Woman. Well, actually, you've got to read the small print very carefully when you're installing these new items. Even Google does it. It'll say, do you want to install? And down at the bottom, there will be a checkbox that says, install the Bing toolbar, change my homepage to Bing. And there, it's a choice.
It's there. You just
You just have to uncheck it.
Right.
Even if you install a Google product, they try to get you to select Google as the search engine, then they try to change your homepage. But always at the bottom, there is a choice. Microsoft, in particular, does not force you into these changes without giving you a chance to opt out. They just might make it small, and they might make it so you may not notice it. But it's always there because Microsoft, in the past, has gotten in trouble for this kind of thing, and they're not doing it now. So, but you can easily... go back and change your home page, and you can simply go on the on your internet. You can right click on the toolbar section itself, and a menu will come up if you're an Internet Explorer, and then you can uncheck the Bing toolbar. Just uncheck it off that list, and it will be gone. And so you can get rid of those two things immediately, and it's no problem at all.
Excellent.
Got an email from Anthony. Dear Tech Talk, I'm purchasing a domain name, and I've been offered something called Whois Protection. What is Whois, and why should I be protected from it?
Two good questions.
Yeah, thanks, Anthony. Well, that is a good question. Well, let's go back to basics on domain names and how you get them. And how you look up information on them. As the owner of an internet domain, there are certain requirements that you must obey in order to get the domain name. In particular, information about you must be published. You can't have a domain name if there's not contact information. It's just not according to the governance rules of the internet. Now, this includes your name, your address, your email address, and your phone number. They'll all be publicly published. Now, Whois is the name of the internet protocol that's used to look up information. So you could say, whois.wtop.com, and it will give you the register, whoever the registrar information, say, for WTOP. And so the data which is stored relative to a domain name is called basically whois information because it's searched by Who Is. Now, if you want to use the Who Is lookup, you can simply go to Google and just type Who Is lookup, and it'll take you to a number of Who Is lookup tables. You can look up whatever you want. Now, however, some people may not like their name, their address, their phone number, and their email address actually published.
Sure.
And in fact, the man who owns the WikiLeaks website does not like his name published.
Well,
Assange.
It's published in a lot of unflattering ways.
Yeah, he doesn't want it published. He doesn't want people to know his email address. And so you can purchase Who Is protection. Now, what that means is that you pay somebody else to put their name up there. And so normally for an extra cost, when you're getting your domain name, you can ask the registrar where you are, you know, registering your domain name for Who Is protection. And what they do, they put up their name and their P.O. box and their email address and their phone number. And then if anybody contacts them about your domain name, they forward that information to you without revealing your specific address information.
You sort of become your proxy.
Yeah, and so that is what Who Is protection is, and it really depends on, you know, whether it bothers you to have that all that information out. And I'd say probably it's 50-50 whether people get it or not. It depends on their view of having that information out there. Now, you could create your own protection of a sorts. For instance, you could get a voicemail only phone number. Say like Google Voice has a phone number that you could get from them, and it could be, you could use it for voicemail only, and it's only used for your domain name. You could get a post office box. Then you could get an email address that's only used for this domain name registration. And so that you'd have, and then you would, your PO, your post office box would serve as your address, your Gmail or Yahoo mail account that you got just for this domain name would serve as your email. And the phone number would be this throwaway number that you would get, say, with Google Mail. And so, in a sense, you could protect yourself in that fashion. It's just more work, but it's cheaper. So if you have, say, 100 domain names, you may want to do it yourself. If you've got one, you just may want to buy the Who Is protection, which is not really that much. Okay, email from Craig. Dear Tech Talk, I'm looking for a new cell phone.
Ah.
My contract is up next month. What do you recommend? Thanks, Greg. Well, this is actually the time to get a new cell phone because there's a lot of stuff coming out. First of all, I would wait until the 4G phones are out. All the 4G phones are going to be released in January. That's the fourth generation. That supports the higher speed network, and Verizon's rolling out fourth generation network. I think they're a little bit ahead of AT&T, so I would certainly get a 4G phone. I would not go with a 3G phone, even though it's a little bit cheaper. The latest iPhones, for instance, are 4G, but not all of the Verizon phones are 4G yet. So you've got a choice, and probably the cheaper ones are 3G. I'd get definitely a 4G phone. Now, you've got a couple of choices for your smartphone. One, of course, if you're an Apple lover, you'd get the iPhone, if you don't mind being locked into only their applications, and it's almost a religious thing whether you like it or don't like it. Now, the competition to the iPhone is the Android operating system that was developed by Google, and there are a whole group of Android phones made by a number of manufacturers that are coming out that are really quite good. So you could get an Android phone, and you could go with any of the carriers. All the carriers have an Android phone. And if you like the features of the Android, it would be certainly good. And Android is getting more and more applications, not as many applications as iPhone yet, but because it's an open source platform, developers are flocking to the Android, and there will be more and more applications. And over time, Android, I believe, will dominate the phone market because so many different manufacturers are making it. Now, if you are interested in just, say, business, I mean, you might go with a BlackBerry. Uh-huh. I couldn't tell from your email what you're interested in, but there are certain people that use the phone for business. They want to look like it's for business. They don't want to use it for personal stuff. BlackBerry is your setup. So those would be your choices, BlackBerry, Android, or iPhone. Now, you've got also a choice of which type of technology. You've got the sort of the European standard, GSM, Global System for Mobile. That came out of Europe. If you travel around the world, GSM is pretty much in every country except the United States. GSM is here, but the dominant standard worldwide is GSM. Now, the other protocol for the for a cell phone is CDMA, Carrier Division Multiple Access. That was invented by Qualcomm. It's a Qualcomm technology, and Qualcomm has really permeated the United States with CDMA, and they're also in a number of other countries. They're CDMA in China in addition to GSM. They're CDMA in India in addition to GSM. So a number of the large countries have both CDMA and GSM, but many other countries only have GSM. Say like Qatar, I know, only has GSM. Sri Lanka only has GSM. I mean, these are countries where I've experienced it. So I tend to want to use both GSM as well as CDMA. So you could get a phone, if you are only going to travel in the United States, you just pick what you want, GSM or CDMA, and it's going to depend what carrier you go with. If you go with AT&T or T-Mobile, that's going to be GSM. If you go with Verizon, it's going to be CDMA. If you do a lot of world traveling, you probably would like to get a phone that has dual band, where you've got both GSM and CDMA. That's what I've got in my phone, and I can flip back and forth. So when I'm in India or China, I'll get all of my emails on CDMA, and then when I want to make phone calls, I'll switch to GSM, and I'll get a local phone card from those countries that I buy for about $10, and I can make phone calls there for just a few cents a minute, or I can call back the United States for maybe 5 cents a minute, and I don't have to do those $2 a minute ones, right, if I use the Verizon. This I have a Verizon. If I use the Verizon plan over there, so it really depends on what you want to do with the phone. Whether you want to have a high bandwidth operation and whether you want to travel globally. But definitely get 4G. I'd look at the Android phone seriously, unless you're just an iPhone fanatic. And check your data plan carefully.
Yes.
What they're
yes.
doing, if you start watching YouTube videos with your smartphone, you can eat up a lot of bandwidth. And what the carriers are doing now, they're getting rid of these all-you-can-eat data plans, and they're putting a cap on it. And then they charge you a lot of money if you go over the cap. And it's possible that you could just watch a YouTube video and it could cost you $20.
Yeah.
So if you think you're going to do a lot of multimedia stuff on your phone and do more than just texting or phones, I would get an all-you-could-eat data plan. Verizon's currently has plans which are all, you know, unlimited data plans. AT&T is trying to get out of them because those all-you-can-eat data plans have just been knocking their network out with capacity. There have been a lot of complaints on AT&T because of network being slow because of so much iPhone traffic on it. But now that Verizon is going to be picking it up, people are worried that the Verizon network is going to shut down once Verizon comes out with their iPhone version, which is going to be out probably, you know, very shortly.
Mm-hmm.
But then that will free up the AT&T network. So, you know, you just got to decide what you want. These are all the trade-offs, and I'd get something that's small enough to fit in whatever pocket you're going to carry it in.
Right.
Well, that was a great call. I'm sorry I didn't give you any specific answer, but you didn't give me any specific requirements.
True, but, you know, you gave them a lot of the parameters that you need to consider. And, you know, you're talking about data plans. You need to look at the text plan, too. If you're a texter, because a lot of these things do not have unlimited texting.
You do want to get unlimited texting. That's what I get. And what I've found is I do more texting, actually, than I do calling.
On the phone.
It's so much easier. If I'm in a meeting, somebody can just send me a quick text message. I don't have to answer the phone. I can say, yeah, it looks good, ship it out. I mean, I can actually, you know, do business without taking a phone. Because it's rude to take a phone call if somebody's there.
Right.
And
exactly.
It's still rude to be texting while somebody's there, but it's not rude.
It's rude with a small R instead of a capital R.
That's right. It's not as and these people that you've been in a meeting where somebody holds their phone under the table and pretends like they're doing something, but everybody knows
they're texting.
Yeah.
Exactly. Don't hide it from us.
That's right.
You are listening to your Classroom of the Airwaves, Tech Talk Radio, on 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. We've got a lot more coming up, and your chance to win a fabulous prize later in the show, so stay with us here on Tech Talk.
Technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University.
Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
The doc is away. Jim is here today in the virtual faculty lounge of Stratford University. Dr. Schertz is in Sri Lanka on business, so we continue on with this on the Best of Tech Talk. Wait a minute. That's not it. I do this when he's here. I do this when it's not. We've got another letter. Let's just do that. Back into the mailbag here on the Best of Tech Talk.
We have a letter from Sheldon.
Dear Hello, Sheldon.
Tech Talk. I'm drowning in statistics. I'm looking at plasma HD TVs. Currently, I'm considering the Panasonic 42-inch plasma.
Show off.
I know, it is. Now, I'm assuming that that I need a 1080 resolution, whatever that means. And as far as the refresh speed, is 120 hertz good enough, or should I get the 480 hertz? This is our question. As far as aspect ratio, do I want 3x4 or 16x9? I've got a 20-watt two-speaker system. That sounds good, but what do you think? What about progressive scanning? Do I need it or not? And how about all these inputs? 3 HDMI, 2 composite video, 2S video, 2 component video, 1RF, and 6 audio. And also outputs that include composite video, audio, and digital audio. Well, you've got kind of a nice selection there, but let's go through some of the items point by point and pick out what's really significant. First of all, let's consider the size of the television set. That's always the big issue.
Yes.
What size do you want? Basically, you figure out what distance you're going to be viewing the set from. And if you're looking at a 42-inch set, then your viewing distance would be 84 inches, double the size of the screen.
Okay. I never knew.
Or if you have a 50-inch set, your viewing distance would be 100 inches.
If I have a 13-inch set and I'm looking from half a block away, I'm not going to see
much, right? It's not
going to
work. Now, if you've got a 13-inch set, then you've got to look from 26 inches.
2 feet.
Yeah, 2 feet.
Not
you know, basically what you're doing, you don't want to be so close to the screen that you've got to move your head back and forth to see one side or the other.
Gotcha.
You'd like it to be all within one field of view without having to look to one side or the other, and that's where those distances come from. So I assume that you figured out your viewing distance when you decided on the 42 inches.
I would assume nothing about Sheldon.
No, not at all. Now, as far as plasma versus LCD, that's the second big choice. Now, you've gone with a plasma choice. There is a difference in the two technologies. Liquid crystal displays, it's thin. It's basically an organic liquid, which is between two pieces of glass. And by putting a voltage on it, you can change the optical properties. That's a liquid crystal display. Liquid crystal displays can have very, very tiny pixel sizes. So if you have a very small screen and you want to have very high resolution where the pixels, the picture elements are very small, you have to go with liquid crystal display. So say most television set displays are LCD or liquid crystal display. You can't make a plasma display small enough. You see, plasmas are actually small little light bulbs, plasma light bulbs, and they're 3 different colors, and basically they emit light. Whereas the liquid crystal display, it's a transmitter, and you've got basically a fluorescent light behind the screen, and it goes through the LCD glass. If you've got a very large display, then you can make the pixel size suitable with a plasma display. And so the very large set, say a 60-inch set or a 50-inch set, are almost always plasma.
Mm-hmm.
Because you go to very large sizes, it's hard to get the glass tolerances right to make a very large LCD. And the crossover point between liquid crystal and plasma is around 42 inches. So at 42 inches, you could go either way.
Okay.
Now, liquid crystal has a narrower field of view because it's an interference effect, and a plasma has a wide field of view. So if you're going to have a wide field of view scenario and you've got people looking at all angles, you might want to go with plasma. Also, plasma emits more light, so if you're in a very bright room, plasma is going to be better than LCD. So I assume you've thought about all of that, Sheldon, when you decided to go with plasma.
Again, I would assume nothing about Sheldon. I have a question now.
Yes.
When plasma TVs go bad, they look really weird, don't they? They get kind of spots in them that don't show. Have you ever seen that?
Well, you could have a line that goes out, you see, because you could have one line in a plasma that would go out on the thing.
And, maybe I'm thinking an LCD screen that does
that. So but they've really gotten much better. I mean, you know, the quality of these things have gotten much better. Now, as far as the resolution, this is the second thing. The 1080 stands for how many vertical lines you have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, they still say vertical lines because they still go back to the old cathode ray tube where you're scanning an electron beam, and you've got vertical lines. So how many vertical lines you have? 1080 is sort of the maximum number of vertical lines that you're going to have in any of these sets. And I would recommend getting 1080p. That's really coming out now. That supports the...
That's kind of the standard.
That's the high-end DVD. You could get a 720 would be the one that would be underneath it, but I wouldn't recommend it. Now, there are two ways that the scanning can be done. You can have 1080 progressive, where you just do line by line from the top down to the bottom. You don't skip a single line. You just progressively scan all the way down. The other way is the interlaced method, where you scan every other line, and then you come back and fill in between. And so it takes two scans to get a complete screen. They basically did interlaced when they're having trouble with the speed of the electronics. But you get the most flicker-free picture if you have a progressive scan. So most of the new DVDs, HD DVDs, like to have 1080 progressive. And now, most of the cable digital is 1080 interlaced.
Gotcha.
So, but if you've got 1080 progressive, you've got everything. You've got 1080 progressive, 1080 interlaced, 720 progressive, 720 interlaced, etc. So I'd say the 1080 is pretty good. Now, as far as screen size goes, you have two aspects. You've got the old-style screen, which is 4 units wide by 3 units tall. That would be the old 3x4 screen. The new wide screens are 16x9, 16 units wide by 9 high. All of the HD is going to the widescreen format, so you definitely want to get a 16x9, without a doubt.
If you get a 4x3 when the digital switch comes over, you're going to have bars on the side of your TV set, right?
That's right.
It's not going to look good.
Now, as far as all the other things, you've got things like comb filters, noise filters, color management. I think all that electronics is pretty much going to be whatever you need. You just have to make the decision on the size, plasma versus LCD, and resolution. Now, as far as your input-output... The input output that we have now, the one that you really want to get is HDMI, which is HD Multimedia Interface. That's a digital interface. Almost all the new DVD players, all the new components support HDMI. I notice you've got 3 HDMIs on this set. That's nice because you could then plug a DVD directly into the set. You could plug a tuner into the set, and you could plug something else into the set. So you could have three devices that would plug into the set. So that would be good. I think that would definitely be the forward-looking input. So I think you've got a good selection here, and I'm telling you, this is the time to buy a flat panel display. They are just dirt cheap.
Absolutely. You are listening to the best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. Stay tuned. Your chance to win a great prize coming up here on the best of Tech Talk.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor, 5 of the 30 occupations projected to grow the fastest by 2016 are IT-related, led by network and data communications analysts, software engineers, and systems analysts. 70% of business technology professionals surveyed by Information Week say there is a shortage of IT talent in the U.S. today. However, if you have previous military or management experience, there are tremendous opportunities for you in the IT field if you retrain.
Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares you to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner in Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the Internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University. This is the best of Tech Talk.
And now it is time for...
Wait a minute. He's right here. I promise.
And now it is time for...
He is... You know what? He had such an amazing streak going on there. Let's try it again.
Mr.
There he is.
Okay, I'm going to have to...
The streak is
that's
broken.
That's pretty much going to cut into his Christmas bonus, I can tell you that right now.
How do you cut zero in half?
Listen, I am a physicist.
Ah, you're
and
used to splitting
so
atoms.
So you can, you know, it's a quantum effect.
I
zero
gotcha.
Is really not zero, Jim.
Exactly. There is something
there are fluctuations
less than
about zero. So I'm going to give him half as many quantum fluctuations around the zero point as he normally would have gotten.
That's pretty funny.
Okay.
I'm sure he can't wait.
Okay. Today we're going to be talking about Timothy Brooks Westergren.
Mm-hmm.
You familiar with him?
No, but we're about to be.
Timothy Brooks Westergren is founder of Pandora Radio and co-creator of the Music Genome Project. You ever heard of Pandora Radio?
Of course, yes.
Timothy Brooks Westergren was born December 21st, 1965 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Place of great snow.
Great deep snow.
Yes. Tim Westergren grew up in Minneapolis and attended Stanford University where he studied computer acoustics and recording technology. He's really into music and mm-hmm. computers. Now, he received a Bachelor of Arts in Political Science from Stanford. And you know what it looks like to me? He loved music, but his parents wanted him to be a lawyer. And so I think to make his parents happy, he got a bachelor's degree in political science. But his true love was computer acoustics and recording technology.
Sure, that didn't make them very happy.
No, after he got out of school, he didn't really do much with his political science degree, as you might expect.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, mom was happy. He recorded with independent labels. He managed artists. He owned a commercial digital recording studio. He scored features films, he produced albums, and even performed. After he got out of school, he was initially a piano player, but he later learned how to play the drums, the bassoon, the clarinet, and he dabbled in recording production. You know, this political science degree, I don't think it helped him too much.
Doesn't seem like it, no.
What do you think? No, I think he just finally, I think college was just sort of a sidetrack on his future area. In 1999, along with Will Glaser, he created and patented the Music Genome Project, which was a mathematical algorithm to organize music. You see, what he was always obsessed with helping emerging artists connect with their music fans who would likely appreciate their music. And, you know, there's a problem. I mean, you listen to a song, you kind of like it, and you'd like to get other songs like it, but you don't really know where to look. You don't know what the names are. You don't know. And it's very hard to kind of, unless you're a music expert, to do that. And so a new artist comes along who has a certain sound. How can he connect them to people who like that sound?
Right.
But they've never heard of the artist. So he was trying to do that connection, and he did it through the Music Genome Project. Now, this was very interesting. This actually was extremely clever. Now, any given song is represented by a list of attributes. Now, this is actually, typically, there are around 400 attributes, and he called this a vector. It's actually a 400-dimensional vector, if you want to think of it like that.
Okay.
And these were traits, and so every song is characterized in about three or 400 ways. Now, for instance, and that might include, like, the gender of the lead vocalist might be one. It could be the level of distortion on the electric guitar could be another one. The type of background vocals could be another one. Okay, rock and pop songs have about 150 genes or attributes. Rap songs have about 350. Jazz songs have around 400. Classical music has around 400. Each song is analyzed by a musician, and they go through and they check off these 350 things, and it takes about 20 to 30 minutes. So these are professionally done. And then you get a list of songs characterized by their attributes or genomes. And so this is the Music Genome Project. You get the picture?
Got the picture.
So what you do is if you have a song, you have a certain list of attributes or an attribute vector, as they say, then you take the attribute vector of another song and you try to minimize the distance between those two vectors. And if there's a very small distance between the endpoints of those two vectors, then the songs sound very similar. So in 2000, he started the Pandora Media Project in the year 2000. It was Pandora was the name of the company. He said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to try to sell this song recommendation technology to companies. So, for instance, his idea was somebody goes to a music store and buys song A. They calculate the genome for it. And then they immediately tell the customer, hey, if you like A, you're probably going to like B, C, D, and F based on this recommendation. So he thought he could help companies sell more songs. It was a good idea, but he couldn't make much. He didn't make much money with this because not enough people bought the recommendations. The thing wasn't really making money like he had hoped. Now, of course, Pandora, you know, the name Pandora comes from Greek mythology. Pandora was the first woman, according to the Greeks. So I thought you'd want to know that.
I do want to know that. Of course, there's the mythological tale about Pandora's box, right?
Yes, now, there is.
Well, yeah.
There exactly is, Jim. And so you are really up on your mythology.
I tried to be, yes.
By mid-2004, this was about after 4.5 years, he'd built a huge music genome database. But he was not making any money.
Mm-hmm.
This is when his mom was probably saying, you know, Timothy, whenever she's mad at him, he says, you know, Timothy, we paid all this money if you go to Stanford in political science. We thought you'd get an internship with Congress. And here you are.
Messing around with music.
Messing around with Pandora, and you're not making any money. And so, well, so Timothy thought, okay, he better repurpose it. So he decided to repurpose this thing as a playlist engine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, and you can see this as a playlist engine. It makes a lot more sense. You go in there and you're listening to music. You put in one song. You say, generate a playlist based on that one song. And so then he created an online radio streaming service where you could basically go online, you can put in one song you like, and it creates a playlist of maybe 50 songs similar to it, and you listen to this radio station dedicated to just the songs you like. And this thing just took off like a rocket. People love this thing. I've been using Pandora for a long time. It really is a great way to find music that I like. But here's the problem.
Uh-huh.
The record industry said, you're playing our music, streaming our music over the internet, and you're not paying any royalties.
Correct.
So they sued him, and they were going to make him retroactively pay for every song that he had streamed from the beginning, and it was going to put him out of business. So he put out a notice to all of his Pandora users that the RIAA was going to put them out of business and Pandora was going to die a death. This was back around 2008. And the users of Pandora flooded Capitol Hill and they said, look, there's something wrong with this. We want you to force a settlement so that internet radio doesn't die.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, that got action. Congress got involved in the RIAA, decided to accept a reasonable offer, which was much less than the courts had awarded them, that would allow internet radio stations, they'd still pay royalties, but not these exorbitant royalties, and they could still stay in business. So after the settlement, about 60% of all the money that Pandora Radio makes goes for royalties, but they still get 40%, and at least he had a viable business model.
Mm-hmm.
See, before they had that settlement, his company was actually about ready to be sued into bankruptcy.
Great.
So his mom wasn't really too happy then. But
no.
They got the settlement, and I would say his political science degree helped him for the first time.
Yeah, it got him out of that mess.
Now, now it turns out that there are about 15 million iPhone Pandora applications that are in use. And he's fueled. You can either get a subscription to it, which means you get a little better quality stream, higher fidelity stream, and you also aren't bothered with advertisements. Or you could just see the advertisements, and he gets a certain pay per click. So 15 million iPhone apps have been downloaded, and you know he's almost making money. And it looks like he will make money. It looks like this thing is going to be profitable.
In fact,
last year, this thing was looking so good that he picked up VC funding to the tune of $35 million.
Amazing. I figured he'd be profitable by now. I'm surprised to hear that.
It's close. It's very close to being profitable. Well, see, 60% of his revenues are going to royalty. So that's really the thing. So as of March 2010, Pandora had 700,000 tracks in its library and 48 million users who listened on an average of 11.6 hours per month. And he's picking up 2-3 million users a month.
Uh-huh.
In May 2010, Pandora was named in Lead 411's 2010 Hottest San Francisco Companies. In 2010, he was listed, this is significant, by Time Magazine as one of the 100 most influential people in the world.
Interesting.
I love Pandora. You can set up your own personal Pandora radio station by going to www.pandora.com. In fact, what we do at the Christmas parties at Stratford, we just take like an iPad or a computer in there.
Uh-huh.
We put in Christmas music, and we create a Christmas music Pandora stream, and that provides all the Christmas music for our parties.
That's pretty cool.
Royalty-free. And then we just have to look at an ad every once in a while.
Now, the reason I brought up Pandora's Box is because I've always wondered about the name of this thing, because that has a pejorative term. Of course, Pandora's Box contains all the evils of the world. Do you know why he picked this name? Was it because Pandora was the first woman? This is the first internet radio station? Is that what the genesis was, or do you know?
I don't know.
I'm sorry I asked.
That is a question which I will check on the break.
Okay.
I actually was wondering that myself, and I didn't find any further descriptions.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I was thinking, was that's an odd name, because the first thing you think of when you hear that name is that story.
Yes.
And it's not a positive connotation attached to that.
That story isn't. But if you go back to the original Greek mythology, they were trying to bring all the attributes, all the feminine attributes that were good, and put them into one embodiment, one god. So Pandora in general is not bad. It's just that particular story.
Gotcha. Interesting. Okay. Very good. Yeah. Now we've gotten to the bottom of that. And that's what we do here. We get to the bottom of things on Tech Talk. You're listening to us on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, and 103.5 FM HD2. Hope you're paying attention, because in just mere seconds, you'll have your chance to win a fabulous prize from us here on the Best of Tech Talk.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it, and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers, here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for America's favorite new game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's the host and star of our show. It's not Bob Barker. It's not Rosie O'Donnell. No, it's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
First of all, it's not new anymore. I need to do something about that. But this is the chance where you win free food here from us at Tech Talk. If you were paying attention to us just moments ago, you would know that we were talking about Timothy Brooks Westergren, who is the guy who created Pandora Radio. I need you to answer this question. And in that case, we will give you, if you do it correctly, we'll give you dining for two, free lunch for two at the Escoffier Stratford University. I believe you can also go to the restaurant that the doc has at the Woodbridge campus as well. He didn't name it after me, or David Byrd. The question is going to be, Timothy Brooks Westergren knew how to play several instruments. Tell me one of the musical instruments that Timothy Westergren could play. Again, tell me one of the instruments Timothy Westergren, the founder of Pandora Radio, could play. Call me with the answer to that question right now at 877-936-9333. 877-936-9333. Once again, 877-936-9333. Dial carefully here on the Best of Tech Talk.
We have somebody just walked in the studio here. Yeah.
What microphone are you on, David? What microphone is that? Can you tell me?
This is really... Is it even plugged in?
Well,
oh, yeah. Here we go.
I'll just turn them all on.
You
want to
go this one?
Yeah, why don't you go with that one?
Want to go this one?
That's,
that work?
Three.
That
work?
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know which one this is. We got some very complicated...
He's wearing one glove. What is going on?
This is pretty professional, isn't it?
There we go.
Mr. Marconi is...
See, the thing is, when there's more than one... When you have an extra mic, you never know which one you're on. It's better if we only have the number of mics to match the people.
There's six of them in here.
How rude. Do you want to introduce me? I mean...
Ladies and gentlemen.
Here I am. That's it.
Wait a minute. We have the David Byrd introduction.
Oh, God,
let's just do that.
Go.
Okay, here we go.
It's not there. Wait a minute. Here it is.
Okay.
Here's the...
The party don't start till I walk in.
Hi, folks. This is David
Byrd. I thought the virtual lounge would have better hors d'oeuvres. Where are the donuts?
Byrd.
Come on.
Culinary department.
You're making money hand over fist. Where's the donuts?
The culinary department just let me down.
He's the cheapest guy I know.
They're closed on Saturdays.
He's cheap. You got that big university. You got the big school of culinary stuff.
He's got two restaurants now,
two
right?
Two restaurants? You think he'd bring some food in?
Hey,
no.
By the way, what is it? Cafe Kareem, or what is the one in Woodbridge?
In Kareem, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Where does that come from?
He's another culinary luminary.
I thought either one of us, your two loyal sidekicks, would have gotten some sort of props.
Enough of the food. I got stuff to talk about. I want to be real quick here.
Sorry.
Have you seen all the competitors now jumping on the iPad? Now they got a better pad. The iPad 2 is coming out and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I know you got your free pad.
Out at the computer electronics show, there are probably 100.
100.
100 pads
coming out.
Yeah.
100. Oh, Marianne got there. Well, why is it Marianne gets all the freebies and you don't?
Because she signs up for them all. But then when she wins it,
right?
I get it.
I'm with you, buddy. Yeah, I'm with you. So anyway, let's talk about the iPad. I gave mine away, believe it or not. I gave it away.
Why?
That was a big
and now I regret
mistake.
It.
That's
it
a big mistake.
Huge mistake.
Well, because all these great apps are coming out. For
the iPad 2 is coming.
Yeah.
And I think I'll go for that one.
You should go for that one.
Because
there were
a couple of flaws with the original iPad, which I know you've brought to light many times.
Yes.
Many, many times.
Oh yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind bringing those to light.
Do you have any new toys you want to share with me?
No, I don't have any.
Yes, you do.
This is my old BlackBerry.
Norman, you figure out a way.
Oh, I do have the Xbox Kinect at home.
Ooh, Xbox Kinect.
Xbox Kinect so listen.
Wow.
And
my pocket protector just went off on that one.
See, the thing is, I am really good at hang gliding with that.
Oh, God. You probably got a Wii at home, too, don't you?
No, I don't have the Wii.
Really?
No, I don't have the Wii because I got the Kinect because I had to do research for Tech Talk.
Yeah, it helps
right.
him think.
Research for Tech Talk.
It helps him think.
Yeah, it helps me think.
It helps me think.
Anyway, now Verizon's going to have the iPhone. Is that correct?
Yes.
And they actually truly do have a true 4G network now.
Verizon has a 4G network in selected cities.
What does that mean?
Well, we're one of
are
the
we
cities.
One of them?
We're one of the cities.
Well, it better be since the FCC's here.
We are one of the. Yeah, now I'm going to be talking about the FCC. I'm not happy with the FCC
Uh-oh.
These days with this net neutrality stuff.
Wow.
I'm
wow.
not happy with them
He's
at all.
He's not happy at all.
No,
I'm
not. The doc's not happy.
I'm not happy.
Happy.
I've got their rulings. I'm going to go through
rulings.
That.
Rulings.
Yeah, I've got their ruling. I'm going to go through them later in the show.
Really?
This will be, yeah.
Oh, God. He's going to go through the ruling on the show?
Right after we talk about the space elevator.
How do we get
Dave,
can we read the Constitution first?
This is radio.
It's only an hour show.
This is radio, so I'm doing the abbreviated.
Oh, okay.
I've reduced the rulings down to one sentence.
I was going to say, Jim, you got any B12? Man, this is going to be a long show, buddy.
I was thinking Gold Pro is what I was thinking.
Anyway, so just some quick advice, because I'm over to the company buffet.
Yeah.
Yes.
The iPad 2, or just wait for another competitor? Motorola? Have you seen the Motorola version?
I think the iPad 2 is going to try to one-up all the ones who are out at the Computer Electronics Show. See, the thing is, Apple never goes to CES.
They
boycott it, and then about 2 months later, they've got their own show of Apple products.
It's all about
us. So they wait to see what's going to be at CES, and then they can just one-up everything announced at CES.
Now, lastly, I'm representing the audience here, guys, because they don't get their ruling off. I know. Just bear with me. Remember when the VCR first came out and it was like $1,100?
Yeah, right.
Now you can get it for like $35.
Right.
Yeah. When's the iPad going to be like reasonable? It's like, what, $800?
It's never going to be reasonable as long as Apple sells it.
Because it'll be a new and improvement
because
every year, right?
Apple's strategy is to keep all the hardware proprietary, all the software proprietary, so that it's not commoditized, so that they can charge more for it.
Right.
Great. And you look at any of the Apple products, they always cost more than the other products.
True.
Okay, I'm kind of depressed now.
So
why did you give away your iPad?
What?
Why did you give away the iPad?
Because I don't want to have to pay another fee. I got an iPhone that does everything the iPad really does. Are you with me on this, Doc?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Pretty much the same.
But see, you could have just used the Wi-Fi connection. You didn't have to get 3G for it.
Really?
Stunned silence in the other side of the
room. Got real quiet.
You actually didn't have to get the phone service for it.
Really?
$800 down the tube.
It's got built-in Wi-Fi. You could have used it at home.
You got the pad, right?
You have the pad. Upstairs, you've got Wi-Fi. Here at work, you got Wi-Fi at home. You just couldn't do Wi-Fi in the car. But I've not seen many people using the iPad in the car while they're driving.
I haven't either. No, and I don't want
to
see that.
You need to look harder, I think.
Don't want to see that. Well, the reason being because all publications are having applications for the iPad.
The iPad is actually the interface that I hate to admit it, but the interface they came up with is really a good one.
Did you see his face, man?
This, you know, people have been trying to come up with a pad, they call these tablets. If you're not in the
tablets,
they've come up with a tablet computer for a long time.
Yeah, tablets.
And really, there were a lot of failed tablets before the iPad came out.
Oh yes, yeah.
And so
where's your confidence level with the Motorola version? Have you seen this yet?
No, but there's an it's going to be based on an Android operating system. I actually think Android is going to be tough. It's going to be tough competition.
Hey, that's
for
blasphemous
Apple.
Talk.
Yeah.
That's blasphemous talk.
So I'm thinking.
Thanks for backing me up, Jim.
This is the thing. Because the Android operating system is free.
Oh. Yeah.
And because they don't have this proprietary hardware lock.
Are we going into a Linux talk here?
I think these knockoff iPads are going to be a lot cheaper.
Oh, I don't want knockoff.
You're an Apple purist.
Yeah, I am a purist.
Well, see, Marianne's won an iPod and an iPad.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm waiting for her to win the iPad 2.
What is she doing this morning? I want to take her by a 7-Eleven, buy a lotto ticket.
You're about 3 days late for that, aren't you?
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for me busting on your show.
Thanks, it's nice seeing you, David.
And we now have somebody on the line. We have a contestant. Let's go to Nick, Centerville, Virginia. Nick, good morning. How are you? Good. The question I asked was Tim Berners-Lee, and it wasn't Tim Berners-Lee. I forget the guy's name off the top of my head. But anyway, you should win just for that. Timothy Westergren. He started Pandora Radio. Tell me one of the instruments he knows how to play.
Well, his favorite is a Fender Rhodes electric piano.
Now, that's one that Doc didn't mention, but you did say that you saw this on YouTube.
Yes, you can find it online.
guess what? Good enough for me. You win. Nick, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Hang on the line. Andrew will be right with you and get your information. Thanks again for listening to us here on the Best of Tech Talk. This is the Best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2, 1035 FM HD2. Be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Morning. Welcome back to the Best of Tech Talk here on Federal News Radio. And as we is our want on the Best of Show, we talk about food here on the Best of Tech Talk.
Coming back just from China, I was just a little interested in the history of chopsticks.
This is pretty interesting.
Then we'll get into what is history of rice, because we were in the rice bowl of the world over there in China. Well, do you use chopsticks very much?
I do. You know, I've just recently learned how to use them after having spent a lifetime of fumbling with them. I've gotten.
Just use the plastic forks that they gave me when I.
I've gotten pretty good with chopsticks because I've been to China quite often, and I'll go to restaurants now. They don't even have. Go to the Chinese restaurants for just locals. They don't even have spoons and knives.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll put the food on a little turntable in the middle. And you've got to be able to nab your food as it's passing. if you can't perfect the use of the chopstick, you starve.
So this is kind of like a big revolving Lazy Susan
That's
thing.
Right.
Does it go behind the wall into the kitchen? No.
It just you're sitting at a round table, and people and everybody else at the table, of course, is rotating at the speed they can pluck it off.
Add to the degree of difficulty and rotate the table the opposite direction from the way the food's going.
Speed
the whole thing up.
Well, one night, when I was in Peking, I went to have some Peking duck, which of course that's sort of the traditional thing there.
Sure.
in Beijing. And so I was sitting there, tinkering around. I thought, well, I'll practice with my chopsticks. So I took a bunch of toothpicks out of the paper and I put them on my plate, and I was moving toothpicks from my plate over to the tablecloth and back and forth. So I wasn't even paying any attention. And it turned out that while I was doing this thing, I got a whole audience of waiters. So by the time I finished moving all the toothpicks to the tablecloth, they all applauded me.
Very good. Was there a special prize waiting for you?
No, there was no special prize.
No,
probably
duck sauce.
No, it was just the prize of another American humiliated. as a sort of a pre-Olympic ceremony. Well, it turns out that in much of Asia, especially the so-called rice bowl cultures of China, Japan, Korea, and Vietnam, food is usually eaten with chopsticks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, chopsticks are two long, thin, usually tapered pieces of wood. Bamboo is the most common material, but they're also made of various types of wood, as well as plastic, porcelain, animal bone. Porcelain and animal bone are nice because they don't absorb the food, and you can wash them over and over again.
Right. And Naveed is now holding up a pair of chopsticks for the camera for Versus,
yes.
So you
can
see
that
on
Garden Network.
Channel 469 right now.
Yeah.
Now, during the Middle Ages, aristocrats favored silver chopsticks, since it was thought that silver would turn a color if it came into contact with poison.
Whoa.
Now, you know, chopsticks can have all sorts of artistic drawings on them. They can be lacquered wood covered with artwork. We've purchased quite a few of those on our trips. We've got plenty of lacquered, decorated chopsticks at home. They can have elegant carvings on them. Now, actually, they've been using these chopsticks in China for over 5,000 years. Now, people in the beginning probably cooked food in large pots, and they came in and they just pulled twigs off the tree and they'd start stirring it with twigs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, over time, as the population grew and people began chopping the food into smaller and smaller pieces so it would cook more quickly, the small morsels of food could be eaten without knives. Over time, these twigs that were used for stirring the food sort of evolved into chopsticks. That's sort of the common thinking. Now, some people think that the great scholar Confucius, who of course lived in China from 351 to 479 BC, influenced the development of chopsticks. Confucius was a vegetarian. Did you realize
that? I did
that?
Not know that, no.
Yeah.
But it
and he believed
sense.
That knives would remind people of the slaughterhouse.
Wow.
And were simply too violent for use on the table.
How about that?
Now, chopsticks are not used in all Asian countries. This is something I didn't realize. They're in India, Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, Thailand, and Central Asia. Most people eat with their hands.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that the chopsticks may be a little bit more attractive than that.
If you have dirty hands, certainly yes.
Really,
we've got chopsticks. Now, what are we going to use
now? We're going to talk about rice. You know, this is sort of a carryover from my trip to China, I guess. Rice, it belongs to the grass family. Did you realize that?
I did not know that.
You know, it actually is grass seed. It's really what it amounts to.
I have a little tall fescue with my...
Yeah, I know. Well, the plant needs both warmth and moisture to grow. It typically grows in 2 to 6 feet tall and is long, flat, pointy leaves, and stalk-bearing flowers that produce a grain known as rice. And so rice is basically grass seed. Rice is consumed by nearly one-half of the entire world population.
Wow.
And many countries in Asia are completely dependent on rice as a staple food. Now, there are a number of different types of rice. Of course, the rough rice is, or known as paddy rice, is the kernels that have not been de-hulled yet. They basically, rough rice is sometimes shipped to mills where the outer husk is removed before the grain is packaged. Then you have the brown rice. Now, the brown rice is after you remove the outer husk, you still have sort of a darker color in the outer coating. This is which gives it kind of a brown-like color, and that darker coating adds various minerals and proteins to the brown rice. It makes it actually
more nutritious.
Yeah, brown rice contains 8% protein. It's a good source of thiamine, niacin, riboflavin, isin. Traditionally, brown rice is the least favorite of all the rices. Well, it takes longer to cook, but it is healthier. If you take and grind down all the brown coating on the brown rice, it's got all the healthy stuff in it, you're left with white rice. Now, white rice cooks a little faster, and it's really pretty, but it's been not only been de-hulled, but all the brown and germ layers have been removed. And it's often, because all of the nutrition has been removed, it's often enriched.
Well, I think
to give it more nutritional value.
And it's almost as
value.
Good as pure lard for expanding the size of your, bottom.
Yeah.
Thanks for going there.
Yeah.
I think brown rice tastes better.
It does.
Brown rice.
A lot of people would dispute that.
Well, we use brown rice at home. It takes.
That's the only problem.
It's not quick.
It's a pain to cook.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of 20 minutes to cook, it might take 30 minutes to cook. You got to cook it an extra 10 minutes.
Sure.
So, that's the only disadvantage to it. Now you've got the American wild rice, which is really just a coarse grass,
not really
true rice. It's
Americans.
And
wild rice.
It's considered a delicacy in many parts
American
of the world.
American rock and roll rice.
So there you go. Everything you want to know about. Oh, another a few other things.
Mm-hmm.
Sake is liquor made from rice.
Oh, I knew we were going to go there at
we
some
really
point.
We really want to get there. Rice paper is not. These are now a few facts about it. Rice paper is not actually made from rice at all. It evolved from the pith of a rice paper tree, which is grown in Asia. Rice glue is made in many countries by boiling ground rice.
And we will see you next week here on Tech Talk.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Blueprint for Wealth, a program dedicated to securing your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Now, here's your host, Wayne Zell.
Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests that are designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. The show is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service